This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two of the Blitz starting right now. Charlie G, P3, and intern Ryan here. We got another hour with you as we approach the third Saturday in October, happening on the fourth Saturday. And we got a friend, a great journalist, one of my favorite parts of the week, Rick Butler from Rocky Top Insider. He's joining us, as he always does, at the top of the hour on Fridays. Rick, how you doing today, man? You doing good?
Oh, not too bad, Charlie. Although last week it wasn't, you know, at the top of the second hour. We had to delay slightly, but hey, man, I'm excited for this weekend. It's going to be nice to have a little bit of, you know, not have to be out and about like last weekend. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Before we really get into this game, you know, it wouldn't be Tennessee if we don't get constant drama, and we got some drama this week, not football related, and you would think, you know, what else could we get after the rain of garbage on Saturday night? But Jeremy Pruitt and his lawyers obviously making some pretty firm statements about potentially revealing bad information about the athletic department, and all an attempt to get his settlement, basically, with, you know, the fun quote, "We're not bluffing." What did you make of that whole situation?
You know, that whole situation that played out in the middle of the week there, Charlie, that was, and it is still fascinating to really see how this thing develops. I mean, when you look at it from face value, you look at the letter that Pruitt and his lawyer sent to Tennessee, and you look at the large name of list that of prominent coaches and prominent figures around Tennessee that he did mention. So I do think that on one hand, you know, that was certainly a bold move, because that's a lot of power when you think about all those people kind of collectively together. But really the fascinating thing, man, to me is just going to be how Tennessee does react to this. Is it going to be a situation where they basically react by saying, hey, we are so sick of this, we are done with this, maybe we can work out some kind of small settlement, you know, certainly negotiated lower than what you're asking for, but maybe we can figure out some kind of small settlement just to finally push this out the door forever, to finally never have to deal with it. But then also, I mean, you think about like the response that Rick Barnes had to say, and he said, you know what, I am extremely disappointed that you would do that. You know, there's nobody to blame except for yourself and that kind of thing. Maybe Tennessee does take a stance where they say, hey, you know what, we are going to lock down just like we have been doing. Your deadline can pass here in 7 days. We don't care. You know, this is an empty threat from you that we believe. So I'm really interested to see how Tennessee does continue to react to this as we are about 7 days from that deadline.
Yeah, I did like that Rick Barnes came out and had some words for Jeremy Pruitt in his lawsuit. That made me feel a lot better about the situation. Still, though, part of me wonders, is it better to just say, hey, here's some money, now keep our names out of your mouth and don't show up here again? But getting into this game now, so this Alabama team, obviously it's not perfect. It's looked like a more flawed version of Alabama than we've seen in years past, and that shows when they lost to Texas A&M. But in their last two games, we've had a loss to A&M and then a dominant victory over Mississippi State. And in that A&M game, you saw them struggle to protect Bryce Young and then struggle to get after Zach Calzada. They couldn't even smell him. Meanwhile, against Mississippi State, they get seven sacks and don't really allow Mississippi State's pass rush to get home at all. So which version of those two Alabama teams do you think we are more likely to see on Saturday?
You know, good question, Charlie, and you pretty much hit the nail on the head there, man. You look back at that A&M game, and you look at what what Alabama did not bring to the table there, and that was mainly a pass rush and a pass protection. There were two gigantic issues that Alabama had in that game. They were not able to get any kind of sacks on A&M's quarterback, and there were too many times for Alabama in that game where their own quarterback or their own running back was getting stuffed behind the line of scrimmage just because they couldn't get any kind of protection up front. Then you go 1 week later to that Mississippi State game, and a lot of those issues did seem to be cleaned up. However, I do think what you said at the beginning of that statement was true. This is a little bit of a more what's the word I'm looking for right here? I don't know. This is just a little bit less of a consistent Alabama team, I think. So, you know, I don't think we have enough of a sample size to truly say, you know, that was one game where they had a really bad pass rush, and every other game this season they've been able to be tremendous at and still top two or top three in the country at it. I don't think we have enough, you know, of a timetable after the A&M game to be able to say that definitively. But no, I do think that, you know, that's a team that really had to kick it in gear the next week against the Bulldogs. I think they'll still be in that same gear against Tennessee. And I do think that the atmosphere, the environment, that being a night game on the road, I do think that's probably going to play into Alabama's favor a little bit.
Looking at this Alabama team, I mean, we both just recognize that, hey, they aren't perfect. They do have some inconsistencies. Where do you think that Tennessee has the biggest advantage in terms of trying to attack this Alabama defense?
So, what do you mean? Do you mean Tennessee's offense?
Yes. Did I say Alabama's offense?
No. I think I might have just heard it wrong. But Charlie, I mean, you think about the biggest issue going to this game with Tennessee's offense, and that's ultimately they just don't exactly know what it's going to look like right now. Right, I mean, throughout the week, Heupel gave some vague health updates throughout the week. For instance, he said Hendon Hooker was day-to-day both on Monday and on Thursday. He said that decision would be waited until a little bit later on in the week, early weekend, so to speak. Same thing with Tyon Evans, same thing with Cade Mays. So, to be honest, man, I don't really know how to answer that question exactly.
Let me put it this way. Off the presumption that Hendon Hooker plays, then what would be?
Okay, yeah. So in that case, certainly Tennessee's chances of staying competitive in this game for a long time, that drastically increases with Hendon Hooker at the quarterback position. But I think if you need to have Hendon Hooker there, I think balance is going to be really important for this Tennessee team. Yes, there have been games where Tennessee has just destroyed opponents this year, but you got to think about how that was set up, and ultimately that was set up in a balanced fashion. I think that, yes, Tennessee is going to probably be in a pretty substantial deficit at some point fairly quickly into the game, I would say before halftime. So is this going to be a Tennessee team that reverts to a considerable amount of passing plays to try to get points on the board quickly? I think that this offense is best when they really do stick to their game plan. Look, even if they might be, you know, behind on the scoreboard a little bit, we know that this is still an offense that can score really fast. Just because they take a couple of, chances to make a couple run plays, then they set up a pass play, that can all work in Tennessee's favor. So I think that ultimately being balanced and staying with that consistency between the run and the pass game, Tennessee's been pretty good at that so far this season. We've seen how that has benefited their offense this season. And so I think that that is a huge key to success for them. If Joe Milton is in the game at quarterback, I think that ultimately it is a little bit more along the same line. But I do think that in that kind of situation, you need to really be setting him up in good positions to get the ball into receivers' hands where he's not having to make the most difficult throws on the field, because I think a lot of us would be fairly unconfident in how Tennessee could last against Alabama in that kind of case.
Yeah, and with hey Rick, Ryan over here. So with the offensive balance you were just talking about right here, how much would that be effective as Jabari Smalltron out there instead of Tyon? Like, would we still be able to have that nice in between, or would it be really discounted?
Yeah, like I don't think it'd be too big of a step down at all if Jabari Small is going to be your main running back going in tomorrow. Obviously, you want Tyon Evans. He's going to be the most dynamic piece, and he's kind of the one that even Coach Saban had mentioned, but what was that, on Wednesday of this week, as an extremely dynamic player for Tennessee. But, you know, I really don't think there's that too much of a drop-off. Yes, Jabari Small is about 100 less yards or so on about 10 less carries or so. But there have been a couple of monster runs made by Tyon Evans. I mean, you go back to the 92-yard run, I believe, against Missouri that was. So I really don't think it drops off too much. I think those are both guys who are very talented in what Tennessee is asking them to do. And I also think that another thing that Tennessee has done well at, you know, granted, all things considered, is setting up their players to be in positions to where they can use their talents in the best way, right? Not necessarily asking a Tyon Evans or a Jabari Small to be a three-down back who just blasts it up the middle every single time, but you give these players opportunities to be able to use their talents in different parts of the field, not just talking about the pass game, even though they both do have four receptions. I think that's a place where Tennessee needs to get them involved even more to be successful here in the last latter part of the year. But I do think that Tennessee has done a good job of getting the right players the ball in the right opportunities, if that makes sense.
Again, we are talking with Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider. Rick, Will Anderson obviously is a very tough man to block, and he just had four sacks a week ago against Mississippi State. Given the injuries that Tennessee has had at offensive line, do you think that, you know, maybe Josh Heupel and Golish would sacrifice a tight end in the pass game to have him, you know, stay in and chip and help out with Will Anderson? Or do you think that they're going to stick to their identity and just, you know, continue to block with those five linemen and maybe a running back and just hope that you can block Will Anderson?
Yeah, I think that it certainly starts out and you're wanting to use all of your offensive weapons in the right way and for the most part in the passing game. But I can absolutely see Tennessee changing up the pass protection a little bit, just kind of using different schemes, different formations on the line, using that tight end to provide a little bit more protection. I mean, even think back to a play like, I go back to Javonte Payton's, what was that, his first touchdown against South Carolina, when it was just that little nice little fake run play by Hendon Hooker, where he kind of starts to go to the right, pops back out, and then isn't able to deliver the pass over the middle. I think that those kind of opportunities, right, just having the tight end on the end of the line there, rather than splitting him out, I think that does give you a little bit of flexibility maybe to either use him as a blocker, show that you're going to use him as a blocker, or maybe be able to do something else. Granted, you can always run him out for a pass, but I do think that if Tennessee needs to do so, I think that's something you could absolutely see.
Rick, what has been the energy level around the facility this week following that heartbreaking loss, obviously, and then following a disappointing display from some of those in attendance at Neyland Stadium, knowing that, hey, now you have to go face a team that you haven't beat in the better part of a decade and a half? Is there still a lot of confidence there? That's still the same bubbly hype that we've been seeing this season?
Yeah, man, I really think there is. You know, when all these players and these coaches talk, and especially when you have an inaugural season like this is, you know, you really kind of start to figure out what is coach speak, what is honest speak, what is just kind of a cliche, what is being said just because it's almost a robotic response. And I think that after 8 weeks of the season, I think that after a month of fall camp and all the spring that we've had as well, I think we've gotten a pretty good idea about what is kind of cliche and what is an honest thought from people inside the coaching, or excuse me, from people inside of the Tennessee facility. And I really believe them when they say that there is a unified brotherhood inside of that locker room that does not allow them to deter or to fall into a trap or just to fall behind in the season. You know, something that Bayless Jones Jr. talked about at the beginning of the week was, you know, he began that Ole Miss game with a muffed punt. But later in the game, he was able to come back, have a really nice punt return, to set up Tennessee well in that last possession of the game for that final drive. So what he talked about this week was really just how much encouragement was there on the sideline. The fact that nobody was hanging their head, the fact that, you know, people are going out of their way to come up to him and just be like, man, no worries. You know, we will have your back. Just take the next one to the house. You know, I know there's camaraderie on every team, but also you can't really take that for granted because you saw the negative effects that it had on the team and on the program last year. The fact that, you know, when things really started to go downhill, they went downhill fast. And so I don't take that for granted anymore. And I look at that as one of the most important things that Heupel has brought to this facility this year, brought to this program, It's just really a culture change and a culture identity from a brotherhood. You know, again, even Bayless was like, hey, even the coaches, you know, we consider brothers of ours, which, again, I found is really fascinating. I don't take that as cliche. Granted, you hear a lot of people say it, but I do think that there's truth to that, and I think that helps, and especially some of these really tough losses. When you do have to come back the next week, you do have to get right back on the grind for an even better team. I think they're really able to come together knowing what they can do when they all play at their highest potential.
Absolutely. I do think the culture change has been notable, and it's been pleasing to see.
Significant, yeah.
Don't hate me for this next question, Rick. You're not going to like it, but I have a fill-in-the-blank for you. Tennessee wins this game and pulls off the upset if blank.
If, all right, well, I'm gonna hit you back with something that you might not like. I have to do a part A, part B. I would say A, if Hendon Hooker plays, and by Hendon Hooker, I really mean you have a healthy lineup heading into this game on Saturday night. I mean both Mays brothers, Cooper Mays and Cade Mays. I think you have to have them in and be able to play a full game. I think you need Tyon Evans so you can have versatility between Evans and Jabari Small so that those two guys don't get, you know, too fatigued throughout the game. You can basically rotate them in and keep them fresh. I think on the other side of the ball, though, you look at the snap count for some of Tennessee's defensive players last week. It was insane. I mean, some of those defensive backs playing close to 100 snaps. A defensive lineman like Matthew Butler playing almost 80 snaps, those are all crazy. So I think a big thing for Tennessee, if they can do well in time of possession. We know that Tennessee's offense wants to work quickly, and I'm not saying that they need to work slowly, but I think that limiting Alabama's offense, forcing them into maybe two or three three and outs throughout the game could really provide some time of possession advantages, keep that defense rested, keep them off the field, and allow Tennessee's offense to chew up clock, hopefully be able to quiet down that crowd a little bit. It's obviously going to be an uphill battle. We saw A&M do it, so we can't say that it is the most impossible task in college football this year, but I do think that A, you need Hendon Hooker to play, B, you need a full healthy team for the most part, and C, I think time of possession would be a huge advantage for Tennessee getting close to a win.
All right, Rick, well, you know what time it is? Time for your score prediction. And I guess really the only thing people are anticipating here is whether you think we'll cover or not. But how do you see this game Saturday night ending up?
You know, I've thought about this game quite a bit, and while I think that this final score could be similar to other Tennessee-Alabama games in the past, I do think that this is a different outcome, if that makes sense. The score might be similar, but I think the outcome is a little bit different. Once again, I think we continue this trend in this season of saying, you know what, we understand that, yes, Tennessee can't go toe-to-toe with the Alabamas of the world, with the Floridas of the world right now, but they are getting closer. They are making strong strides towards that eventual goal. I remember watching a Tennessee-Alabama game back in Reese Hall, back my freshman year, and just thinking, you know, man, it would be so crazy for Tennessee to go down there and win this game. I don't know if that's going to happen this week. I would love to see it happen just to see the city, to see everything around Tennessee football. But I will say for a final score, I'll go 42-17. Actually, I'll go 42-20. I'll give him an extra field goal.
Oh, thanks.
So we'll see what happens, man. But either way, I think this is going to be a tough task for Tennessee. But I think, again, we come out of this game thinking, hey, something is on the right track, though, even if we weren't necessarily there this year.
All right. Well, Rick, thank you very much for joining us. Glad you got us at least covering. Always love talking to you here. And then I guess next Friday is the bye, so unless you want to join us for Blitzoween.
You know he does.
Then we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. But have a great day, buddy.
Hey, well, I do love Blitzoween. I probably will end up joining you for that. But, hey, you know, Do you want to go ahead and do it, or do you want me to do it on the way out this time?
You know what he wants.
I know what you want. You know, I will say this. I'm finally starting to maybe kind of sort of believe in you guys a little bit.
How about them Cowboys?
So you're watching the game and you see...
Back here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Just had a call from our friend Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider previewing this Tennessee-Alabama game. Real quick here before we get into confidence picks, the next segment. I asked Rick this question. I know it's a dumb question. I know you're sitting there at home when I ask it and say, I bet a lot of you said if Alabama forfeits, that's how Tennessee wins, or if they get COVID.
They come down with a case of COVID because that is in the rules now. You have to forfeit if you can't field the team.
I'm sure a lot of you kind of cringe at that question, but I'm going to ask it again. Tennessee wins if... Is there a scenario that Tennessee wins this game that's any kind of sort of realistic to you, either of you?
If Hooker's playing, I would not be shocked, like, to the point of, oh, my God, I cannot believe this is happening. I've said all season, well, majority of the season since we got to see Alabama play, they look beatable. They have flaws in their system this year, and we've seen it. We've seen it happen. I was more, for example, I was more shocked at Texas A&M beating them than I would be at Tennessee beating them. Would Tennessee beating them still shock me? Yes, but watching Texas A&M pull the upset, to me, is a more or is a bigger upset than I think Tennessee would be. I think Tennessee's better than A&M. So, no, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Tennessee could beat Alabama. I'm not banking on it. I'm not counting on it. But it can happen. If Hooker's playing and you play a damn near perfect game, then... Yeah, I think it's possible. If you force Alabama into some mistakes and you're actually able to capitalize off of them, I think that's the only way. You have to take advantage of their mistakes. You're not going to beat them like head-on. A&M took advantage of the mistakes. They scored a special teams touchdown in that game. You got to – when they give you an inch, you need to take a mile. That's about how it goes. Anything that they are willing to give you, you have to fight for the extra yards. So if you play a perfect game and Alabama makes mistakes, yes, I think it's doable. It's not going to be easy, though.
Yeah, and I'm just going to pretty much be echoing over here, because if Tennessee doesn't give away any freebies, if you win the turnover battle, if you don't shoot yourselves in the foot like we've been prone to do, you know, with the muff punt, with a couple unfortunate situations that were definitely because of us, and don't get a lot of penalties, yes, there is a chance if our defense plays at the same caliber they have been. Because if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, this defense is more formidable than a lot of people are thinking, and I think that includes Alabama.
Yeah, I was saying this all offseason. Under Jeremy Pruitt, the offense never gave you a chance to pull off an upset, and not just because of the personnel. It was the offensive scheme we were running. We just did not run the type of offense that was capable of pulling off these big upsets. With Heupel's offense, you can. They run the up-tempo, score fast, and... We saw it last year with Ole Miss when they got in a shootout with Alabama. That's very doable with this Tennessee team. So the upset, I feel more confident in a Heupel-led team than I do any of the previous staffs we've had.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, yeah, with Pruitt, you felt like that offense was built to beat teams you were worse than and give you a chance to beat teams you were as good as. But never give you a chance really to pull off any kind of upset. And I do feel like, you know, this is the best chance we've had to beat Alabama since at least the Butch Jones days.
Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with Alabama.
Yeah, and it does have a decent amount to do with Alabama. And I think, you know, it does have to do with this offense too, with Hendon Hooker and with some of the weapons that you have. You feel like you could score enough points to hypothetically put you into this football game. Now, I think it's going to be important. You really want to try to take away the big play from Alabama's offense and make them get it chunk by chunk, little by little. Because if you do that, you know, I think Bryce Young hasn't really nearly been close to as good as people expected.
No.
And if you make him, you know, maybe you make him throw it 10 times in a drive instead of 4, you know, that's extra chances for him to make a mistake, for your defense to maybe bat one up in the air at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, jump underneath a slant, or just something along those lines. Now, you're going to have to play a perfect game. And even if you play a perfect game and Alabama just plays, you know, a decent game, a good game, you're still probably going to lose.
Yeah.
You need Alabama to play
a flawed
an uncharacteristic game for them, and you need to play a nearly perfect game.
You're going to need a couple breaks to go your way.
That's not impossible. I mean, that's what I would say, at least. It's not impossible.
Right. It felt impossible under Pruitt.
It felt impossible, and I know a lot of you are listening to me right now like, oh, man, shut up. It is impossible. I don't need your sunshine pumping, but, you know, odds are it's not going to go our way tomorrow, and that's just is what it is. But there is a chance, and it hasn't felt that way recently. But I feel like there is legitimately a chance tomorrow that the breaks go your way and you're able to score enough points. Maybe your defense gets a couple stops, and you can get out of it. You know, our defense, our secondary, for the most part, is held up this year on those intermediate routes, on those deep routes. It's the underneath stuff that's gotten us. The middle of the field when you attack the linebackers a little bit in coverage has gotten us. And then obviously the quarterback's ability to run the ball was an issue both last week and against Emory Jones with Florida. So that does worry me. Bryce Young has some wheels. But make him go the long way. And don't shoot yourself in the foot. You know, you can't have
holding penalties when you're trying to drive down the field.
You can't have false starts. You know, your drives need to be clean. You need to play turnover-free football. First downs are important, establishing that run on first down, and then taking the big play away from them. You know, we'll see what happens. I think we can at least make this a pretty fun first half. Maybe get some buzz going. But we got confidence picks still. We'll pick the Tennessee-Alabama game and obviously nine more between college and NFL. So we'll get to that on the other side. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Through the tea, makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up. What do we got here, GP3?
You haven't heard this song before?
It feels familiar, but it also doesn't.
It's Ball for Life, y'all.
How long has this been a bumper?
I just added it.
Did you add my other request?
Probably not. I don't remember.
Oh, Wanted I Hate Alabama.
Oh, no, that's not in there. That's not in the bed. You need to add it, though.
Yeah, I know. It's too late now. Basketball season.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, we got confidence picks to get into. And notably, everyone's written their picks in but me.
Well, I put my picks in. I haven't added my points yet.
I haven't picked these games yet. So I guess I'm picking and assigning points on the fly. Hey. So we'll see how that works. I mean, it's not like I can do much worse. Last week was a tough week for all of us, but Chance somehow. Chance
we
had 39.
All did really bad last
Chance
week.
Had 39. Me and GP3, 22. And Ryan had 26. Jeez. But
so I'm still in the lead by a hefty margin.
Well, our first game, again, not a ton of great games this weekend. We don't have a single ranked versus ranked matchup. But our first game, Wake Forest traveling to Army. Undefeated Wake Forest trying to stay alive. They are a 3-point favorite. And can I get some Beverly Hills Cops or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Feels weird all of a sudden and doing confidence picks in silence. But
I was trying to put in my numbers.
Ryan, you go ahead and go first. Wake Forest traveling to Army.
Yeah, so Army is quite the opponent for this Wake Forest team that clearly are trying to get to the promised land that they've never been to, and I think they're going to keep it going for another week. I do like Wake Forest in this one, except it's going to be a real close game, so this is my one-pointer for the week.
GB3?
I like Wake Forest. I like them a lot more than I guess some other people. I know Army can be tough with the type of offense they run, but Wake Forest, they run the ball very well. They have a very good offense. I believe they're still undefeated, are they not?
They are.
They are.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't see Wake Forest getting upset here. If they're going to get upset, it's going to be against somebody in their division. Give me Wake 4 points.
I really want Wake Forest to win this game, man. I really do. But I just don't really see them winning. I think Army takes this one. Let's put 3 points on it. Why not? Army for three. Chance also has Army. He has 2 points. Next up, Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Iowa State actually a 7-point favorite here, despite Oklahoma State being undefeated and ranked inside the top 10. Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to back Oklahoma State on this one. The Cowboys, they have really been impressing me the last couple of weeks, and they are becoming one of the true threats in the Big 12. Wouldn't be surprised if they even pass the Sooners here in the next couple of weeks. So I got them winning against Iowa State right here, 6 points.
GP3?
Yeah, if this game was week one, I'd probably pick Iowa State because I was really high on them coming in after the offseason, but with the way Oklahoma State's been playing so far, they just had a big win over Texas, comeback win against Texas. I gotta roll the Cowboys. Give me OK State.
I feel like we kind of forgot about Iowa State. I mean, they had these high expectations, and then obviously you lose to Iowa, you lose to Baylor, and people kind of forgot about you. But it's still a talented team, and they're still a team that many would consider well-coached, and they're the favorites here for a reason. I'm going to take Iowa State, but just 2 points. Next game, a classic rivalry. I feel like I can just close my eyes and see a 7 o'clock USC Notre Dame game on NBC coming down to the wire. But USC at Notre Dame. Ryan?
Yeah, so I got Notre Dame in this one right here just because this is still a talented ball club, and I think they're too talented to lose to a USC team who have definitely had some cracks in their armor this year. So I got Notre Dame fighting Irish. They're going to fight for 8 points for me.
GP3?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with fighting Irish as well. And I don't know. This isn't really a game. I probably won't even end up watching this game. Both teams have really underperformed this season. And I'm only picking Notre Dame because I think USC is a little worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I got 7 points on it.
I mean, Notre Dame is flawed, like you guys have both said, but they're still better than USC. The Pac-12 is not good. The Pac-12 is very, very, very bad. Absolutely no good at all. I will be betting against them 10 times out of 10. Give me the Irish for 9. Chance has Notre Dame 7. He also had Oklahoma State for 3. Next, we have a really interesting game that maybe didn't look so interesting even a week ago. LSU on the road at Ole Miss. Obviously, Ole Miss coming off a close win here. And LSU, the turmoil they've had the past 7 days. They pull off the upset of Florida. Coach O, it presumably, is coaching for his job, but then we find out that, you know, he wasn't coaching for his job after all. He reached an agreement to no longer be the coach at the end of the season.
I'm getting a $17 million buyout, too. How about that?
Quite the buyout. But Matt Corral got hurt towards the end of that Tennessee game, so he is a little banged up going into Saturday. I don't know if he's playing for sure or not, but who you guys got in this one, Ryan?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to keep back an Ole Miss right here. Ole Miss, I mean, they're still a really good, talented ball club. I think even with a discounted Matt Corral, you're still good enough to beat this LSU team, which, let's be honest, they've gone lucky quite a bit, especially last week. So I'm going to have to back Ole Miss, mainly because their defense will be able to put LSU in their place.
Yeah, before LSU played Florida, they could not run the ball at all. They had the same amount of rushing yards in Florida or against Florida that they had all season to that point. I don't think that trend's going to continue. I think they're going to revert back to how they were running the ball beforehand. And Ole Miss's offense is just going to be too much for that defense that's depleted for LSU. So, yeah, give me Ole Miss, and I'm going to put 9 on it. I'm pretty confident in them.
Yeah, I mean, Lane Kiffin even said yesterday about Matt Corral's injury status. I've never spoken in detail about injuries. Not going to start now. We hope everyone plays. That doesn't sound all that promising, honestly.
Yeah.
Unless he's just trying to play mind games.
Which... maybe. And that kind of that makes me a little wary to pick Ole Miss. So maybe I'm not going to go with as high as a number, but I don't really have a lot of respect for LSU. I'll take Ole Miss, and I don't know. Let's go 6. I'm just throwing numbers out here. Yeah, 6. Sure. All right, on to the NFL.
You know Chance had to take LSU.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot about you, Chance. Yeah, Chance is taking LSU for 1. On to the NFL, the Chiefs are on the road at the Titans. They're a little bit banged up. Tyreek left the game with an injury. Travis Kelce a little banged up. And they haven't quite played some good football lately.
Trey Smith's returned to
Yeah, Mahomes to the state. Has thrown a pick in every game he's played this year. The Titans, meanwhile, they're very banged up too, especially in the secondary. But they're coming off a big Monday night football win. And our home underdogs against the Chiefs, +4.5. Who you got here, guys? Ryan, you're first.
Yeah, so this game, it's just the battle of which offense can really do it. Both of these defenses are very bottom tier, except I think the Chiefs one might be a little worse, if we're being honest. But Patty Mahomes, I think he's going to throw for a ton of yards. I'm only doing the Chiefs for 5 points, mainly because I really see the Titans having a true chance in this and it being a good game, but I got to back the Chiefs on this one for 5.
Yeah, we're going to get the Derrick Henry show on Sunday. It's pretty much been on every week so far to this point, but it's going to be something extra special, I think, on Sunday. We've seen Derrick Henry rush for 3 touchdowns in at least 3 games so far this season. I think he's got a real possibility at getting 4, if we're being honest with how bad that Chiefs defense is. Titans have owned the Chiefs in the regular season. I know they beat us in the playoffs, but I'm taking the Titans at home, 3 points.
Yeah, the Titans own Andy Reid. In his career, he has only beat the Titans twice, and he has not beaten them in the regular season with the Chiefs. And really, the Titans, have owned the Chiefs a little bit too. Obviously, the Chiefs got the better of them in the AFC playoffs, but this is a team that the Titans have had a lot of success against, and a coach the Titans have had a lot of success against. I think they're going to do the same on Sunday. The Chiefs defense is not equipped to be able to stop Derrick Henry. I mean, no defense is, but exactly. Theirs especially is not. And the Titans defense is sneakily a pretty decent defense, especially up front.
They're reaching middle of the pack, yeah.
They have a defensive front to me that's up there towards, you know, the top third of the league. But that secondary, unfortunately, has just dealt with so many injuries. It's really it's been hard for them to click and be able to put it together. But inside the 20s on both sides of the football, it's a very good defense. And, you know, I think everything kind of sets up for the Titans to win this game. I'm taking the Titans with 8 points.
There it is.
Chance, meanwhile, has the Chiefs for 8 because he's a hater.
He also picked the Jags to beat the Titans.
He picks against the Titans. He claims, I went to the Titans games growing up. The Titans are my second team. No, they're not. You love seeing the Titans lose. You love trying to make me miserable. Love picking against them. Anyway, next game, Bengals at the Ravens. It's a hot start Bengals team. Joe Burrow and the boys taking on the Ravens, who are coming off a big, big win over the Chargers. Ryan, who you got here?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I've really been loving everything I've seen from the Bengals so far this year, mainly because Joe Burrow has looked real nice, but this Ravens team is on a different planet right now. They are so hot. Their defense is finally starting to play a lot better than when they started the season, and Lamar Jackson is playing some of the best games he has. Give me the Ravens here. This is going to be one of my big ones. 9 points.
How can you say this is a tough one and then put 9 points on them?
Because it's going to be a good game, except the Ravens are just a dominant team.
No, I mean, like, it's respect to the Bengals. I've got 8 points on the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to dominate this game. It's a division matchup, and I think the Bengals are just going to be outmatched. I think the Ravens have proven themselves to be the best team in that division.
They'll be outmatched. I mean, it's still going to be a good game.
I'm not worried about it at all. I think the Ravens win this game easy.
All right.
Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. The Bengals have a better passer. That's arguable, I know. But
if you're talking passer, strictly passing, but if you're talking quarterback, I would still say Ravens.
Yeah, strictly passing, Joe Burrow is a better passer. The Bengals have the better receivers. The Bengals have the better running back. And the Bengals' defense is a lot better than people realize. I like the Bengals here. I do. I think that they are a solid football team, a team that will be around the majority of the season, and I'm going to take them here for 4 points. Chance has the Ravens 4-9, by the way. Go Bengals. Welcome to the jungle, baby. Next up, we got the Colts at the 49ers. The Colts desperately trying to keep up in the AFC South race as they are a week away from playing the Titans at home, which will be their last game with the Titans already early in the season. So 49ers, they're back off the bye. Who do we got in this matchup, starting with you, GP3? Oh, tricked you.
Plot twist.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my hatred for the Colts won't let me pick them here. I think it's going to be a good game. Carson Wentz seems to be finding his footing. Jonathan Taylor's really come into his own this season, solidifying himself. He's one of the better backs in the league, but I'm going to take the 49ers. They're in a dogfight in their division. They're going to have this is a game they need to win in order to stay afloat. So give me the Niners, 5 points.
This 49ers team is a broken team right now. George Kittle's on the IR. Brandon Ayuk's not even playing. They don't know what the heck they're doing at the running back position. They're starting Jimmy G, even though they really want to start Trey Lance, but he's a little too injured to play right here. And I don't trust Jimmy G as a game manager right here at all. I think this Colts defense is going to at least make them be able to win because they'll hold the offense to too little of points. Give me the Colts for two.
Chance has 49ers 6. Give me Kyle Shanahan off the bye every time at home. I got 49ers 7. Next game, Eagles-Raiders. Quickly, who we got around the room?
I'm taking the Eagles. I think they're going to have a bounce-back week. They got to get it together at some point. No better chance than to go get it done against a team without a head coach. Well, I know they got an acting head coach, but, you know, without a head coach.
Yeah, and I got the Raiders for 3.
I got the Raiders, and I guess it's 5 points because I'm running out of point values. I think I'm about to be stuck with a 10 here soon, but Raiders 5-4 chance as well. And our last game here before we get to the Vols on the other side, Panthers at Giants. Quickly here, boys.
Panthers 2 points.
Panthers 4 points.
Chance has Giants 4. I'm stuck having to put Panthers 10. So go Panthers, I guess. Beat the drum or whatever. Keep pounding. But quick break here. Back on the other side. Ending the show as we always do. Portions of the show have been brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. NFL Week 7 is here, and there's no better place to bet than with FanDuel. And they're going to give you exclusive $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with 3 legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So again, Titans game, Derrick Henry over, Derrick Henry touchdowns, pick your third, bada-bing, bada-boom, you win money, and if you don't, hey, FanDuel will refund you up to $10 back. We love FanDuel. They're fast, easy to use, and they're America's number one sportsbook for a reason. No feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel. Get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up today with promo code BLITZ to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on the Texans and the Cardinals Sunday afternoon. That's right, $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code BLITZ so they know we sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See sports terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789. Boom. All right. We got 1 minute left, and we got one more game to pick. The Vols, the Tide, Saturday in T-Town, night game. Is anyone taking us to win? Ryan, who you got here?
Nah, I sadly got Bama. That's going to beat the spread, though. It's going to be 41-24.
You got 41-14 listed on your...
I know. I'm changing my opinion, GP3.
41-24. I think we cover two, but I got Alabama 10 points. 38-24.
Chance has Alabama as well for 10 points. He has them winning 35-21, so a respectable game. Wrapping things up here on the Blitz, Talk Sports next, drive after them, and then overtime taking you home, getting you ready for tomorrow's game. But we all know what I'm going to do. We know that if I wrote down Alabama here and I picked Alabama, I would spontaneously combust. I just don't have it in my blood. I'm picking the Vols to win tomorrow. Hendon Hooker is back. Tyon Evans, hopefully back. Why not, you know? Why not us? Crazy stuff happens. GP3, give me that Rocky Top, baby. Let's go. Have a great weekend, y'all. For Charlie, GP3, intern Ryan, this has been The Blitz. Go, Vols.